अच्छा
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your strength that is working in us, making us to overcome temptations and weaknesses. Thank you for your light that is shining in our hearts and our mind. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for giving us peace and joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for destroying the plans of the enemy that were formed against us. Thank you for giving us victories over all the forces of darkness. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you because in our lives, your grace is sufficient. You have subdued Satan under our feet. You have subdued serpents and scorpions under our feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the fruits you have revealed to us through Bible study classes and through every other teachings that we do in this ministry. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the truth to us. And thank you for helping us to obey your truth. Thank you for helping us to obey your commandment. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening to learn at your feet. We are here to learn at your feet. I ask that you teach everyone by your Holy Spirit. Teach everyone in the name of Jesus. As your word enters into our heart, make us doers of your word and not hearers alone. In the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. Thank you, Lord, for we know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. May we welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching series. Though last Tuesday we couldn't have the class because of network. So we're going to be doing the topic we should have done last Tuesday. The topic says, don't let your liberties become a stumbling block to others. Don't let your liberties become a stumbling block to others. That is, don't let the things that you think you are free to do as Christians, don't let those things become a stumbling block to others. What is a stumbling block? A stumbling block is anything that has the ability to bring down someone. Anything that can make another person fall into sin, fall into darkness. Anything that can make others to sin against God or to become weak in their faith. That is a stumbling block. Anything that can destroy another person's faith, another, or the faith of another believer, that is a stumbling block. So we should not let our liberties become a stumbling block to others. A stumbling block can be likened to the bombs that you see on the highway. Yeah, if a car is coming from a distance. With a high speed and somehow did not know that there is a bomb in front, if he suddenly collides with the bomb, the car is going to wreck. The car would tumble or somersault. And there'll be a great accident. Yeah. So that is an example of a stumbling block. Something that is able to cause disaster. Something that is able to cause destruction. Yeah. So the topic once again says, don't let your liberties, your freedom as a Christian become a stumbling block to others. Let us look at Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. We going to read from verse 13. To 21. Romans 14, 18 to 21. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That is, don't put a stumbling block in the way of your fellow believer, your fellow Christian. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Praise the Lord. I know some of you might find it difficult to understand what I've been reading from this Bible passage. But it's not hard. It is not hard to understand. Here, Paul was talking about certain food items, or certain things that is considered to be unclean. You know that in the Old Testament, some animals were considered to be clean. And usually those animals have been used to sacrifice unto God. And some other animals are considered to be unclean. Yeah, so if you read the book of Leviticus, you will see a lot of those animals listed. Yeah, a lot of them were listed out, clean and unclean. Clean animals, unclean animals. Yeah, and God gave instructions that no one should eat unclean animals, and no one should sacrifice. Of course, you dare not sacrifice unclean animals to God, like a dog, like pig, dog, pig, vulture, and some other animals like that. You dare not sacrifice unclean animals to God in the Old Testament days. Yeah, so now that we are in the New Testament, under the dispensation of grace, some believers were having issues with whether to eat unclean animals or not. And the issue was mentioned to Apostle Paul. So he had to write about it. And he was saying in this passage that he is persuaded by Jesus that Jesus has given him a confirmation or a revelation that confirms that everything God created is clean, that there is nothing unclean. Yeah. So according to Apostle Paul, any believer is free to eat anything they want to eat. However, he said they should not allow that freedom to become a stumbling block to other believers. Yeah, because as at this time, or as at a time when this passage of the Bible was being written, we have Jewish Christians or Hebrew Christians, and then we have Gentile Christians. A Gentile is anyone that is not Jewish, or that is not a Jew. Anyone that is not an Israelite is considered a Gentile. Yeah, so we have Jewish Christians, and then we have Gentile Christians. Yeah, so now the Gentile Christians, they have been eating all these animals that are considered to be unclean. They have been eating these animals even before they gave their lives to Jesus, before they surrendered their lives to Jesus, before they became born again. They have been eating these unclean animals, these animals that the Jews consider to be unclean according to the law given to them in the book of Leviticus. Yeah, so now the Jewish Christians are kind of uncomfortable with seeing the Gentile believer the Gentile believers eating those animals that they never want to eat, or they believed should not be eaten. Now, so that was where the confusion came from, and they had to inform Apostle Paul about it. Yeah, because the Jewish believers were confused. They seemed not to be comfortable seeing the Gentile Christians eating those things. And here Apostle Paul was saying, let me read that place for you. Verse 14, Romans chapter 14, verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Maybe I should read it in New Living Translation so that you can understand. Romans 14, verse 14, I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. No food is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. Praise the Lord. If someone believes that eating certain food is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. Verse 15, and if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Yeah, can you see that? He said, don't let your eating ruin or destroy someone for whom Christ died. So Apostle Paul was giving them instructions to be careful. To be careful in how they conduct themselves, they live among other believers, especially in the area of what they eat. Yeah, he was telling them to be careful in regards to how whatever they eat, how it affects another believer. Yeah. So the same message is coming to us even now, that you should not allow your freedom become a stumbling block to another believer. You should be careful in the way you behave, the way you act, the way you live your life around other believers. if you think you are free to do certain things, before you do those things in front of other believers, you need to consider how those things may affect the faith of other believers. Yeah, so we should not let our freedom destroy another believer's faith or destroy the faith of another believer. Yeah, we should be careful. According to the Word of God, from Apostle Paul, he said, anything, any food is not wrong to him. Yeah, he said, no food of itself or in itself is wrong to eat. Yeah, but if anyone thinks certain food, certain animals is wrong to eat, then it is wrong for that person. Yeah, because his conscience, his or her conscience, already agree with the fact that he or she should not eat certain things. Yeah. So we should not force those kind of people to eat the things that we think is not wrong to eat. We should not force our own freedom. We should not force our own freedom on another believer, because you don't have problem eating certain things. You should not enforce it on another believer and start saying, you also must not eat this. If you eat this, you become unclean, or you will have demons living inside of you. Yeah. So we should respect the conscience of other believers. We should value the faith of other believers. So if, for instance, you don't have any issue with eating pig, pork meat. Yeah, let's say for instance, you as a person, you don't have problem eating pig, eating pork meat. Don't let that liberty you have affect another believer who do not believe in eating pig or eating pork meat. Don't let your liberty to eat that type of meat affect other Christians. So which means that don't even mention it when you are with that other believer that doesn't like to eat pig meat. Don't even mention it. whenever you are talking with that believer, don't even talk about it. And don't even say, can you have some of this meat? When you know that this meat is that meat that your fellow brother does not like. That is, don't offer to them what you know that they don't believe in eating meat. Don't offer lunch to them. Yeah, and don't even talk about it. Yeah, so we should respect the faith and conscience of our fellow believers. We should respect their faith. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there are many other examples apart from food. Yeah, there are many other examples of how we should be careful in not letting our freedom become a stumbling block to others. Now, I noticed some things that many Christians do nowadays. And I believe it is very wrong. Some Christians, or maybe I should say it like this, some married Christians, they do some things publicly that is very wrong. Yeah, they do some things publicly that is very wrong. Though they feel like they are free to do that because they are married. Yeah, but there are some things that should only be done inside the house as a married Christian. You don't do it publicly. You don't even put it. You don't put it on the internet. You don't put it on WhatsApp. You don't put it on your status. You don't put it on your profile. Yeah, there are things you don't put on the internet. And there are things you don't put on social media platforms. Even though you may feel that there is nothing wrong with that. For instance, some so-called married Christians are kissing each other in maybe in a video or in a picture, and then they put that picture in the public, on public platforms like the internet, like on a poster, on social media platforms. And then if you ask them, why do you put this kind of picture on your status or on your profile? They would say, it's not wrong. I'm married. We are married, so we are free. Yes, you are free, but have you considered others that are going to look at that picture? Have you thought of how that picture can draw others into sin? How it can tear up lust in the hearts of those that look at it. Yeah, so we need to be careful with the way we live as Christians. Yeah, before you do anything in the public, you need to consider how that thing you want to do can affect the faith in the relationship with God of another Christian, how it can affect your fellow believers, how it can draw others into sin. Yeah, you need to ask yourself. You need to.
Off, but you'll have to turn on
Wi-Fi and connect to a network first. Praise the Lord. So we need to, first of all, think about what our actions is able to do. Yeah, we need to think about what our actions are able to do to other people's spiritual lives, to other people's walk with God, and to other people's faith. We need to first consider that before before we do those actions. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. In Jesus' name. Now, I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, there are other examples, many, that I have seen. Yeah, I believe you have seen in the scriptures where Jesus said that offenses will always happen, but woe to that person through which offenses come. Offenses will always happen, but woe to that person through which offenses come. Now, what does that mean? It means that you or whoever that brings others into sin, or whoever does anything that makes others to fall into sin is going to suffer more judgment. Yeah, that person is going to suffer more. That person
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
The microphone and the amplifier I was using, I think the battery has died, so I'm going to speak without it. I believe you can hear me very clear. Yeah, as I was saying, anyone that does anything that brings others into sin is going to suffer more judgment, more punishment. Yeah, anyone that does things, and that thing or those things causes others to fall into sin, is going to suffer more judgment from God than the person that was lured into sin. So the person who causes another to fall into sin will suffer more judgment than the person who fell into sin. I hope you understand. The person who did something that made another person to fall into sin will suffer more judgment, more punishment. So let's say the two of them found themselves in hell. They would not receive the same punishment in hell. The one that is the cause for the other one to fall into sin will get more punishment in hell than the one that fell through the other person. Yeah, so we should be careful how we live our lives, because God is watching us, is watching how our actions are affecting the faith of others. Another example is in the way some Christians dress. The way some Christians dress publicly, some people will say, "I'm going to the gym." Yeah, they will say they are going to the gym. So that is why they wore the type of clothes they wore. Some other will say, "I'm going to the beach. I'm going to swim. I'm going to the swimming pool." So that is why I dress like this. You have no excuse to dress like that. Yeah, whether you dressed like that because you are going to the gym or you are going to the swimming pool, inasmuch as that appearance of yours is able to seduce others into sin, it is wrong. Yeah, whether you feel like you have a good reason. Some people will say, my husband said I should be dressing like this. My wife said I should dress like this. Yeah, inasmuch as that appearance of yours is able to become a stumbling block to another person, inasmuch as that appearance of yours is able to bring another person into sin, it is wrong. It is very wrong. Absolutely wrong. And it is a sin. Yeah, and anyone that happened to fall into sin because of your appearance, their blood will be required from your hand. Yeah, anyone that your appearance, your look was able to seduce or lure into sin, God will require the blood of that person from your hands. Because if you had not appeared like that, that person would have not fell into sin. Yeah. Which is true. Yeah. Because everybody know that certain appearances is seductive. In fact, even the people that are appearing seductive, they themselves know in themselves that their appearance is seductive. Yeah, so you have no excuse. Some people will say, it is not my appearance that is making anybody sin. It is those people's mind. Their mind is dirty. Yeah, because their mind is dirty. That is why when they look at me, they sin in their minds. That is a big lie. Yeah, that is not true. Yeah, you can ask. You can ask people questions, and they will tell you that they were not even thinking anything wrong in their minds until they saw something. And that thing they saw projected the thoughts into their minds. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah. Most people that we have interviewed concerning this matter of seductive dresses, and they would say that they had nothing dirty in their minds. They had no lust in their minds until they saw a seductive picture, until they saw a video, until they saw someone on the street, dressing seductive. Yeah, so which shows that it is not about the mind of the people, yeah, that are looking at the seductive appearances. Yeah, it is the appearances themselves that are polluting the minds of people. Yeah, because most people, their mind is thinking on other things that are not polluted. But immediately they saw your dressing, the thoughts in their mind changed immediately. Yeah, so that shows that they wouldn't have lost it after you, or they wouldn't have stayed in their mind if you didn't appear like that. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Yeah, so this message also goes to women that put on trousers. Yeah, women that put on pants. Yeah. Most trousers that women put on, in fact, maybe 98% or 99% of the trousers, because those trousers have to be tight, have to be fitted to make the women satisfied. Yeah, so more than 99% of the trousers women put on carries seductive power. Yeah, these appearances or this dressing is able to seduce the opposite sex into Spain. Yeah, so you don't have excuse. Yeah, you don't have excuse. Whether you say, I only wear this when I'm doing sport. Yeah, whether you say, I only put on this when I'm doing sport, or when I want to exercise, or I want to go to the gym. In as much as somebody else will see you in that dressing, you should not put it on, because it is going to be a stumbling block. So it is not just about you now. This is about others that would see you. Yeah, this is about others that would look at you. So we have to be very careful. Yeah, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. I pray that you will correct yourself in whatever way you have become a stumbling block to others. Yeah, you can be a stumbling block to your fellow Christians. You can even be a stumbling block to unbelievers. Can the rest of you hear me? I got a message that my voice is not clear. My voice is not clear, or maybe it's not loud. I don't know. So let me know if the rest of you can hear me. So perhaps it could be the network of the system. Yeah, so as I was saying, can be a stumbling block to a fellow believer, and then you can also be a stumbling block to an unbeliever. Yeah, because there is a way you will live your life publicly that even the unbelievers would not want to become a Christian. Some of them will feel like there is no difference between you and them. They'll feel like if you can also dress the way they dress, if you can talk the way they talk, then there is nothing different. Then there is nothing different between you and them. So they won't see any reason to become born again. Yeah, they won't see any reason to come closer to God. Okay. Yeah, thank you for telling me that. Yeah, as I said earlier, my speaker or amplifier went off, so that was why my voice went down. So you can increase the volume on your side there. Yeah, you can increase the volume over there on your hub, the free conference call hub. There's a part where you can increase the volume or put it on a loud speaker. Yeah. And perhaps if you do that, it will work. You might hear me louder. We have some other scriptures to consider before we round off the teaching. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yeah, this is another scripture confirming that you should not allow your liberty become a stumbling block to others. Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful to me. That is, I can do many things. And it wouldn't be a sin in the sight of God. Yeah. He said he could do many things, and it will not be regarded as a sin in the sight of God. Yeah. But He said, all things are not expedient. So he said, even those things that are lawful to him, many of those things does not edify. Yeah, so you would rather not do them because they do not edify. Let us look at it in New Living Translation. First Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6. Yeah, verse 12. First Corinthians 6, verse 12. It says, you see, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Let me read it again. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Yeah, so you can see it. Even if you are allowed to do anything, you must not become a slave to anything. And on the other hand, not everything that you feel you are allowed to do, because they are not sinful, is good for you. Not everything that you think you are allowed to do, not everything that you think is lawful for you, is good for you. Yeah, there are many things Christians do, and then they say it is not a sin. Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible that says we should not do this, we should not do that. But that thing is not good for their spiritual growth. That thing is not good for them. Yeah, but they feel like they are allowed to do it, but it is not good for them. It is not good for their relationship with God. It is not good for them concerning their spiritual warfare against darkness. Because if they continue to do that, they will continue to become weak in spiritual warfare. And the enemy would overcome them. Yeah, some people will say, as a married person, some people will say, because they are married, so they can be addicted to sex. Yeah, they would say because they are married, they can have sex anytime and enjoy sex and be addicted to it, since it is not a sin, since they're only doing it with their spouse. But they don't know that it is not good for them to be addicted. They don't know it is not good for them. They don't know that to be a slave to certain things is wrong. Yeah, because if you can no longer control yourself concerning certain things, it means you're already a slave to that thing. So if you cannot control yourself concerning sex, even though you're a married person, then it means you are a slave to sex. And then it means your downfall is very near. Yeah, it means your downfall is very near. So we must not be slave to anything. And we must not think because we are permitted to do certain things that we can just do it anytime we want and anywhere we want. No, we should consider other people that would be in those places watching. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 to 13. But meat commended us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the word standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Praise the Lord. So these verses are also confirming the things I have said earlier. Yeah, in that passage, Paul was referring to people who were eating food offered to idols. Yeah, and they were asking Paul that, is it wrong to eat food offered to idols? Yeah, the food itself, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, but the motive behind the eating. Let's say, for instance, you already have food in your house. You already have food in your house, and God has blessed you. You lack nothing. And then you left the food you have in your house. And then you went to the temple of idols to start eating the food there. Is that not wrong? Yeah, because God already have provided you with food. Then what are you doing in the temple of the idols? Or why do you go and collect food from those that are offering the food to the idols or to their idols? Yeah, so the motive through which we do certain things will justify whether they are pleasing in the sight of God or not. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was saying that if another Christian see you in the temple of idol worshippers eating their food, how will that Christian feel? He or she will also feel like, oh, so I can just eat any food I see any way. So that means even Jesus is in partnership with this idol, because if this Christian is hitting at the temple of this idol, then maybe Jesus approved that we should worship idols. Yeah. So we need to be careful with our actions. Yeah, because your actions can suggest many things to people that are watching us. Now, the last scripture we are going to look at before we round off the teaching. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. First Peter chapter 2, verse 16. It says, as free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Yeah, so even though we are free as Christians, but don't use that liberty for wrongdoings. Let's look at it in New Living Translation. 1 Peter 2:16. Peter 2:16. Yeah, it says, for you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Remember, the topic says, don't let your liberties become a stumbling block to others. Don't let your liberties become a stumbling block to others. So you have had everything, and if you feel like you missed some part of this teaching because of the distractions that came up on my side here. If you feel that you missed some part, you can listen to the audio again. We're going to put the audio on the platform. Yeah, you can listen to the audio all over again. I think my voice will be loud in the audio. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. As I said, don't let your freedom become a stumbling block to others. Always consider how your actions will affect others before you do those actions. I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you more concerning these things. In Jesus' name. If you have questions, you can ask me personally. Okay. Okay, you can ask me personally, or you can ask on our Telegram platform. Now, I have a question here from Sister Susan. Though I don't know if it's a question, but you're saying, especially in arguments around alcohol and conversion of water to wine. Okay, so I guess maybe it's a contribution or something. Yeah, I don't know if it's a question, but let's say someone is asking this type of question about alcohol. Questions like, should Christians drink alcohol? Yeah, because even Jesus converted or made water to become wine. And not only that, there's another verse where Apostle Paul was recommending wine to Timothy. I don't know if you have read that, please. Yeah, Apostle Paul was recommending wine. He was telling Timothy to take some little wine because of the problem in his stomach. So I guess Timothy had some health challenge in his stomach. So Apostle Paul was recommending or prescribing wine, telling him to take some little wine. So some people, they use this as basis for their argument that Christians can take wine and it is not a sin. Yeah. But if you look at several other scriptures or verses, Bible verses about alcohol, you're going to see that they do not encourage believers to take wine. The Bible doesn't encourage priests, people who are serving God, people who have the Spirit of God in them. In fact, people will be leaders, pastors, bishops, anyone that will be a leader, the Bible forbids them to take wine. And anyone that is a priest, and if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says that we are all priests. It says every Christian is a priest of God. We are royal priests. Yeah, and also because we have the Holy Spirit, we should not be filled with wine. There's another place that says, do not be drunk with wine. He said, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know what wine does to the body. Wine carries the power of addiction. Though wine or alcohol can be medicinal, though there are other types of wine that are not alcoholic, but I'm talking about the ones that are alcoholic. Yeah, there are times that they are being used for medicine, for treatment, and there is nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you can use alcohol for treatment. Yeah, you know that I'm using these to treat my body because of this problem in my body. Yeah, you are using it to treat. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but drinking it for pleasure. There's a lot of things wrong with that. If you're a Christian, drinking it because you want to enjoy it, there is a lot wrong with it. And the reason why it is wrong for Christians is because of the intoxication that is in the wine or in the alcohol. The intoxication. That is, it has the power to intoxicate, to control you, to override your mind, to override your thoughts. That is, you can lose control over yourself, and certain demons, certain unclean spirits, certain evil spirits, demons, will start to control you. Yeah, at that level of intoxication or drunkenness. Yeah, so because wine have that ability, we should not drink it. It has this ability to suppress your spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to control you, and you're supposed to be in the spirit all the time as a Christian. So alcohol will suppress your spirit and will increase your flesh. It's more like you turn down your spirit and then you turn up your flesh. So you'll be more carnal when you're filled with wine. Yeah. And then when you are now drunk with it, you become possessed by demons. Because there are demons that are already following every bottle of beer. There are demons following every bottle of beer and every bottle of alcohol. Yeah, and they are waiting for you to drink it to the point of intoxication, or to the point where maybe they're waiting for you to drink enough that will allow them to do certain operations in you and through you. Yeah. So instead of creating temptation for yourself, it's better to not drink it, because you know what it has the power to do to your mind, to your emotions. There are people that were not committing fornication before. There are people that were not sleeping around with men, sleeping around with women. They were not doing that before. But when they started to drink alcohol, that was when they started to sleep around with men and with women. That was when they started to commit adultery and fornication. It was after they started to drink alcohol. So there is a lot you will lose when you drink this thing than when you don't. Yeah, so some people will say, I'll just take one bottle, or I'll just take half bottle. I don't take much. Yeah, but we don't know how much the kingdom of darkness will be able to do to you through one bottle. You don't know how much they'll be able to do to your emotions and feelings just through one bottle that you drink. You don't know, because a lot of demons are following these things, these alcoholic things. Yeah, so why not just abstain from it instead of creating an opportunity for demons to override your life and start controlling your life? So why not just leave it alone? Yeah, so for anyone that asks you questions in relation to whether a Christian should drink alcohol or not, I believe you have the answer to give them. Yeah, in there are cases where it is okay, and that is for treatment and for medicinal cases. Yeah, but for pleasure, it is not recommended. According to the scriptures, the Bible does not recommend it for pleasure. Though we don't know if the one if the wine Jesus gave them in the Bible during the wedding, we don't know if it is alcoholic or not. The Bible did not tell us whether that wine that was that Jesus gave the people, because Jesus turned the water into wine. So which means Jesus gave them the wine to drink. But we don't know whether that wine is alcoholic or not. We don't know. Yeah. So, and even that does not mean you should go and drink wine. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. So if there are questions, if you have any questions, you can always ask me in the group or on my inbox. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have opened our eyes to see during the course of this teaching. Thank you for making us to realize how our actions can be a stumbling block to others, even though we might felt free to do those actions. Thank you for showing us how to discipline ourselves regarding things that the devil can use to bring us down and even to bring others down. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help every one of us to live a life that is approved in your sight and also approved in the sight of men. In the name of Jesus, help us to live our lives in such a way that people will want to become like us, because we already have become like Christ. O Lord, help us to live an exemplary life in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that whatever anyone here might be doing that is causing or that is becoming a stumbling block to others, oh Lord, correct them now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the Holy Spirit will stop you from the things you have been doing, though you don't consider them to be wrong, but those things have become a stumbling block to others. May the Holy Spirit stop you from doing those things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.